Blog Talk Radio.
Bless God today, saints. This is Tafwe Nioni, your host of In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. This show is broadcasting from Durham, North Carolina on today, Saturday, August 16th. Today we have with us on the show Martina Dunsford, who is affectionately known to us here in Durham as Coach D. She is also the executive director of New Horizons / Training for Success, which is a non-traditional school for kids who have been kicked out or expelled from the Durham public school system. And she hasn't called in yet, so hopefully she'll be calling in any moment. But she is doing some magnificent things here in Durham with the youth, mainly teenage, well, actually middle school, which in some states is known as junior high school, and high school students as well. And she saves them and gives them another opportunity to at least get their high school, their GED diploma, and have the opportunity to graduate from high school. And I believe she's on the line now. Coach D?
Hello there.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for participating on our show today.
Sure, it's a pleasure.
And I know you're a very busy woman.
Well,
we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to be with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So tell our listeners how you became involved in this issue of high school dropout among teens.
That's interesting. When I look back, I question myself sometimes, and I'm saying, you know what, how'd you do this? My family, even my mom, said to me one day when I first started this initiative that, what are you doing? And I just say, you know what, Mom, I really don't know, but I know God is leading me to do some things. What sparked this movement was the fact that in 97-98, the Durham Public School System created a merger between the county school system and the city school system. And at that point, when things were evolving into what they needed it to do, the inner city kids sort of got the bulk of that, was affected the most, meaning that they were taken out of their comfort zones, basically out of familiar territory and placed in unfamiliar territory. And as a result of that, a lot of kids were starting to hang out in the project areas, the housing development. A lot of the kids were out of their school zone, even out of the bus line to even get to school. So as a result of some of those variables, a lot of kids were out of school during the day. And being the program coordinator down in the Few Gardens community, it was my job to sort of create programs to help empower the community. And when I saw this happening, immediately I just couldn't understand how kids were being suspended from school or out of school for such long periods of time to include for the remainder of the year or even 365 days without any intervention in between. Nothing was happening, and I couldn't imagine 13- to 14-year-old kids out. So as I investigated the situation, of course, it was happening. And I said to the community that I was working in, to the parents of the community that I was working in, and we had established such an excellent relationship that they trusted my judgment, that I said to them that that's not going to happen. That's impossible. There's no way these kids can be out that long period of time without something happening, some type of intervention. So I said, send them to me. Send them down to the recreation center. So, and at that point, I had no clue as to what I was going to do. I knew God was leading the way because, trust me, I don't think I could have awakened one day and just said, I'm going to do this for this population without some divine power and help. So as a result of that, I went to parents, and we created at that time what we called Project I Am Somebody. That is, and today in 2008, it is now New Horizons, a place of high expectations.
Excellent. And what are you doing at New Horizons / Training for Success to rectify the situation as much as you can anyway here in Durham?
What I recognized, and this may not be a familiar statement with a lot of people, but you've got to know what you're working with. You've got to know what who you're working with. And when you can identify behaviors and challenges as a result of being around people and of a certain culture, you kind of know what to look for. What really kind of sparked also New Horizons, which is now, or Project I Am Somebody, which is now New Horizons, is the fact that one of the kids in the neighborhood was suspended for 365 days for sexual harassment, okay? And when the kid got suspended, I immediately found out, I asked him what was going on, and he gave me his story side of it. But, you know, kids got their story, so I'm an investigator all the time. And I told him, and so I went to investigate it. And the kid was playing around with his next-door neighbor, who in the African-American community, in Few Gardens, in the housing development, everybody knew everybody. So you kind of played and you horsed around and you did some things. Well, when they were in an unfamiliar company or in schools that wouldn't necessarily privy of a lot of things that these kids would do or would not do, it was misunderstood. And he was playing with a neighbor, and he grabbed the little girl, and that's what, you know, middle schoolers do, unfortunately. And the teacher saw it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote him up for sexual harassment, and he was suspended from school for 365 days for sexual harassment when he was really actually only playing with his next-door neighbor. And so that's sort of what...
So his education was deferred for a whole year, and that's a problem that I see happening more and more and more among these schools, that they have a zero tolerance for the most minute thing that these kids do. It gets misinterpreted, and then they kick them out for the whole school year or expel them, and then, you know, what are the kids supposed to do?
Well, and that's why New Horizons was created. I agree with that statement, Shirley. But at the same time, what we've got to do in 08 to remedy some of what we're doing is, yes, it was a bad movement on the kids' part to be suspended from school at that point. But we've got some issues, I think, a little deeper than what the system can handle, and it's going to take the community and the parents of young people to help rectify and change some of these things. I am a true believer that systems don't raise children, parents do. And parents are going to have to take a bigger position in being what we all have always said and known to be, the child's first teacher and learner, a provider, because when kids, and this starts at a really early age, because when by the time the system, and systems meaning school systems particularly, receive children have got to be ready and to accept what is being dealt to them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And when children,
go ahead. And that's true, because, you know, the education begins in the homes at first. But
exactly.
We have to look at also the fact that what kind of homes are these kids coming out of?
What
parents are raising these kids, and what is the educational level of the parents?
We're missing.
That's
a large part of what we're missing, and we're trying to elude the fact and go around and deal with the children. But children don't pay bills. Children don't decide where they're going to live. Children don't decide who they're going to hang out with and where they're going to go and what they're going to wear and what they're going to eat. Adults do that. And we've got a movement that's starting to that I'm also heading out and implementing called Parents Taking It Back. And it is whatever has more control over you than you have over it. And it's time for parents we've got to find a way to reach young people who are having young kids at an early age and having to educate them in the things and responsibilities of a parent, even if they missed it themselves. And until we do that, kids are going to continue to come out of homes and situations that's not conducive for learning.
Absolutely.
Because how can you? And we raised these children. These children came out of my house or your house or whomever that house that child came out of. So how can you honestly put the blame on somebody else for your child's outcomes when you actually raised a child in your house?
Absolutely. And I was reading the book Learning While Black by Janice Hale.
Yes.
And she notes in her book, and we're all very much aware of these problems, but she noted that problems like crime, violence, teen pregnancy, poor school performance, and early termination of education, i.e. high school dropout, has restricted the life chances of minority children.
Exactly.
And these maladies are symptoms of a complex web of social and historical problems that have festered for centuries. So do you think politicians, school officials, in other words, the powers that be, waste time talking about the problems that they're already aware of instead of actually taking actions to fix them?
Yes, and I'm going to say that boldly because it starts at the top. The top trickles down to the bottom. So whatever comes from the feds go to the state, from the state to the local. So the local is only adhering to whatever guidelines that's been issued to them. But what we often and too often do is we want to put all people in one box. Now, we all work different jobs. We all got different lifestyles. We all got different variables in our lives that direct us in certain ways. Why would we think that one system would fit all children? And that's what New Horizons is, and one of the primary reasons also for creating New Horizons is because we recognize that, one, all children do not learn the same. All children do not act the same. And all children don't have the same abilities to reach a certain goal.
Absolutely.
And so, therefore, why are we sticking them all in one box and saying, if you don't do it this way, then you're a failure? And that's been my concern about young people, because even after working in Few Gardens in the housing development the way I did, kids were coming from all over that area, but they all had different learning styles and different ways of accepting and grasping stuff. But at the end, it did not mean that they couldn't do it. It was the fact that it had to be delivered a different way. And I am still understanding, and I'm not getting away from the fact that the society expects you to do certain things. When right is right and wrong is wrong, it was wrong 20 years ago, and it's wrong today.
Absolutely.
But the difference is you got a different person style today. So the information is the same. It's the delivery that has to change.
Right,
and until we move into a 2008 more technological advanced system, we're going to continue to get the same results.
Absolutely, because we're dealing with the MTV generation, also known as Generation X. And I'd like to open up the phone lines right now and give the listeners an opportunity to call in and speak with Coach D. The number to call in is 646-716-5180, and we also have the chat room open, so if you'd like to send an electronic question or comment, the chat room is open now. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-5180. So, Coach,
sure.
How concerned do you think these people, the officials, really are about the problems in the schools that are predominantly minority?
I'm not sure. I don't know how to call people's feelings, and I don't want to say that they're not concerned. I'm just not of the mindset that they necessarily know what to do with it. And my issue with it is the fact that it's not the people on the front line that they're coming to and asking for this advice. They're going to people from other states and maybe other degree people with a degree of some sort and want to say, well, you know, why isn't this working or how do we work this out, opposed to really going to the source of the situation and finding out how these things actually really work. So I don't want to say they don't necessarily care. I would probably lean more to saying that I don't think they really know what to do about it. And until we put some dollars into areas that is working, and until you get some true answers to, maybe some possible answers to some of this situation. Because if what you've been doing and this doing is not working, why do you continue to do the same thing?
That sounds like the definition of insanity to me.
Well, I agree in the fact that, you know, we got to do something different, and what's not working for our kids now is the same thing that we've been doing for centuries, and then until we decide to do that. The other point that I'd like to make also is unfortunately, this Generation X is a group of people that we've put this sort of label on. There are some major things that issues with these kids that we are not really actually addressing, because our school systems are so large. Some of the school systems in Durham alone have 1,500 to 2,000 kids in it. Now, if you don't have great management skills and time management skills, that leaves you out of the situation, I mean, out of advancing, because you're going to find the easiest way out, when, especially if you are already academically behind. So then in the next year or so, once you get leave out of school for at least a year, you're 9 times out of 10, you're not going to go back and complete. So then your dropout rate increases. Now, what I have said over the last 5 years, and I see it slowly but surely happening, is that the large systems are going to become small pockets of education all across the country, because it's too many kids in these big schools to fix the issues that we got. And that's why our dropout rate continues to get bigger. Our gang problem is growing out of the gate, you know, and because we're not really addressing the needs of a lot of kids that's there. And we got to figure out how to get to these kids.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to have more and more dropping out on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Now, we have a new superintendent of schools here in Durham. Have you seen any improvement since he was inaugurated?
Yes. Yes. Dr. Carl Harris is a true advocate for learning. And I've been in his presence. I've had conversations with him. And I get a really good feel that he's really doing the best and doing all that he can to try to implement opportunities for young people. Durham is opening up some smaller educational programs to address the needs of kids, and we're really excited. He's an advocate for the New Horizons program, and so I've seen a major change since Dr. Harris has taken over.
So it sounds like he's going to the source and dealing with the issue on a community-based level, because it seems like that's been a problem from what you outlined earlier, that most of the officials go outside of our state, go to these highly educated people who can't relate on a community level to the people who are living in these communities and going to these schools.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. But I can say that definitely on Dr. Harris's and doing his regime, he has definitely opened himself up and been out in the community to address some of the major needs that's going on in the system. It's going to take some time, because it was torn up when he got into the chair and the position that he is currently in. And when you've got 4 or 5 years, 10 years of stuff going on, it's not going to take overnight to fix it. It didn't take overnight to get in it. And so it's going to be a minute before we make before some changes happen. But I will say that I am, and I am one who's a true advocate for young people. And if it was not the fact, I would not say it, but he's actually putting himself and his staff in a position to support the issues that young people are dealing with today.
That's terrific, and we certainly applaud him for his efforts. And I'm going to give the callers an opportunity to call in if you'd like to speak with Coach D, or if you have some educational issues that you'd like to talk with her about. The number to call in is 646-716-5180. Now, this might be a bit of a loaded question, but in your opinion, how qualified are the teachers to deal with the myriad of socioeconomic issues that kids deal with today?
I think we got some challenges. There's several reasons, I think, factors that attribute to that. And one in particular is that we've got a law that was created on the federal level that's trickling down to the state and then to the local, called No Child Left Behind. And because of that law, the ability to address personal needs that young people, a lot of young people experience and have that interferes with their learning opportunity is there. And because it's more test-based and you've got to have this by a certain amount of time, and if you don't pass this class and if you don't do these things and whatnot, and then if all teachers are supposed to be certified and that kind of thing, it puts a strain on the teachers that's trying to really get out of a kid what they can possibly get out of a child. At one point, yes, I'm in favor of testing and determining success, but we've got to look at if John advances from on a learning or reading level from sixth grade to seventh grade or eighth grade, it's an advancement. Now, if he doesn't pass a test, should that determine whether he moves on to the next level? Or should the test determine whether he is growing or getting better? Or opposed to watching his growth over the last couple of years or from grade levels or ability levels. See, and I think we focused on testing. If you don't test, you're not worthy. And it has actually demeaned a lot of kids have like just gotten so discouraged, like, well, if I didn't pass my test, then that means I'm not passing to the next grade, then I'm not going to go back. Then you're 15 and 16 years old in the ninth grade because you were not able to pass a test at the end of the school year. Now, how many adults can really remember everything that you gave them from September to December at the end in 6 or 7 months?
Absolutely.
3 or 4 months. I mean, it's a lot for a child who is already coming from an environment that's not really pushing learning the way some folk would expect for children to do. And we are weighing everybody on the same level. And that's kind of, for me, that I think that's almost impossible, especially when these kids come from such difficult backgrounds.
Absolutely. And I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the four guests that we have in a chat room. And they're reading the messages, but I haven't seen any questions come up yet. We have Steve in a pod, a guest 513, and the vent, and another guest in the chat room. So if you want to go ahead and type your questions for Coach D, I would appreciate it. And if you have any questions, please do feel free to call in right now. The phone lines are open at 646-716-5180. Martina,
sure.
What about the kids? What is their responsibility to see that they get their education, the education that they deserve?
Well, the kids don't know, really, are not, they don't know any more than we as adults tell them. So if we are not really pushing the issue and putting ourselves in positions to actually help them to move to the next level, how will they know? We hold kids responsible for too much information that they never receive. And once they get it, now I do agree, and I'm not, and I think that there's some level of responsibility for children, but if you've never been taught to be responsible, and see, that's what we're overlooking, is that we're sending kids and requiring them to do certain things and be responsible, but how can we hold them accountable when they've never been taught? I mean, that's the difference between sort of like growing up in the city and growing up on a farm. Now, you take an individual who lives in the city and put them on a farm, and so you go out there and grow corn or wheat or tobacco. He's probably going to stand there and just with his hands open like, what do you want me to do? You know, we've never taught them, if you've never taught them how, and it's not embedded in the house, and it's not at the dinner table in the afternoon, if mom and dad and family members are not pushing education and all the things that go along with that responsibility to being at school on time, being ready for school, having your equipment and things with you. If it's not being pushed, how is that child supposed to know that? Now, when they go to the school system, the system's saying that you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, and the kid is like, whoa, I've never known how, you know, learn this. Nobody's ever told me this, or nobody's pushing those issues, not in my house. We're trying to stay alive at night.
Absolutely, and I hear what you're saying, and it's kind of a threefold issue here because we can use it as an excuse, but at some point, the kids are at an age of accountability. They have to take the initiative because they have to own up to, well, this is my education, and I need to do what I need to do to get educated regardless of the situation, because I know personally kids who've come out of some horrendous lifestyles at home, circumstances, environment, and still succeed in school. And secondly, teachers are getting paid to teach these kids when they come to school. It's not, I mean, the parents have their responsibility to instill certain traits and characteristics in their kids, but when those kids are sent to school, the teachers are the ones who are getting paid to teach these kids.
I agree. I agree that that's their job description, okay? That's basically their job description. But Charlie, when you got 10, 15, 20, 25 kids in a classroom, okay, and you've got 10 kids that's totally acting out, what kind of time, and this is why I'm really pushing this issue with parents. Because when you got 10, 9, 8 kids in your classroom, and every day you come in there, you've got to figure out how to settle them down enough to learn and be able to accept what the teacher is trying to teach. Now, the teacher is going to be either wrong on one end or the other. If they send them out and they send them and suspend them, it's like, why are you suspending all these kids? If you leave them in the classroom and you can't get anything taught because you're spending 30 of your hour and 30 minutes trying to correct issues with these kids, the kids in here that's not being responsible and respectful enough, then where does that leave the other kids in the classroom? It's trying to, this is on a daily basis almost. So we've got to find a system, some type of systematic way of those kids who are academically behind, pulling them up in some kind of way. And some people are going to say, you're going to stereotype my child and you're doing this and you're doing that. But let's face the real true facts. Now, if the kid is not learning, we got to find a way to help him to become a successful student. If it means taking him out of that particular classroom and putting him in an environment where we can help him, the teachers are there to help, which is exactly right. But how can I do that if I'm not getting support?
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right about that, because when I was teaching in the MSEN program at UNC, and that was just a Saturday program, so I only had the kids on Saturdays on the weekend for a couple of hours. But I did have a couple of unruly kids, and it was a distraction to the learning process. This child had issues that went a whole lot deeper, and I certainly wasn't there for that 4 or 5 hours to deal with his issues. And when I talked to his parents about it, they made all kinds of excuses for his behavior.
Exactly.
So ultimately, the directors decided, we're not here to deal with these issues, so he had to leave the program. And so you're right, everybody has to be involved. We have to have the kids involved. We have to have parents involved.
Yes.
Schools have to be involved because, as you said earlier, the learning style of these kids today is so much different than it was in Ozzie and Harriet's time.
Exactly.
We have to find a way to structure these programs and these learning environments that captures their attention and wants them to participate in the educational process.
And that's what we do at New Horizons. That's our primary objective, is really to try to find a way to help kids and parents identify the issues and what's going on with kids and their purpose. And so one of the requirements to even get into the New Horizons program is that we have to have a sit-down. There's a round table discussion with the child there, the parent there, myself, whomever is involved. If grandmother is in the house, if dad is in the house, if the boyfriend is in the house, if whomever. If that particular person is a major entity in this child's life, we are not gonna, that kid cannot come into the New Horizons program until we have a round table, so that we are all on the same page. Because if we can link arms and prevent the loopholes, the kid has no place to go and escape. And I simply mean that by whatever is done and whatever the rules are at school, then the same rules need to be adhered to and expected at home. Whatever the rules are at home need to be adhered to at the school system. So that way we are all on the same page. If this is not going to be allowed at home or at school, then it shouldn't be allowed in either one of the environments that this young person is in. And once they understand that, you can't get away with it with me. It's like playing mom against dad a lot of times. Well, I'll go ask mom because mom's going to let me do it. Or I'll go get dad because I'm dad's little girl and he's going to let me get away with it. But until we close all the loopholes that these kids have found and can find to escape in, we're going to continue to have a problem with that young person. But if we all stand together and understand that this is not acceptable and we agree in front of the kids that it's not going to happen, you may get some better results.
Absolutely. And you know what, Coach D, we're going to take about a minute and a half break so you can refresh yourself, maybe get a drink of water or something. Okay.
Sure, thank you.
And we'll be back in about a minute and a half, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Are you at the hospital? Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a number. I want to give you a number to call into the talk show. And they're going to ask you your opinion about something calling in about the New Horizons program. And then you want to talk about the differences that you've seen in the children that have come to the New Horizons program. And even about their parents, why the parents are recommending that they come back to the program. Okay, the number is 1-646-716-5185. You just call that number, Shirley's going to answer the phone. And tell them you're calling to make a comment on the New Horizons program. Right now. And then if you got anybody's phone number near you, call them and tell them to call in too. All right. Hello?
Okay. And we're back. This is your host, Tafwe Nayoni of In the Spirit, and our guest today is Coach D, affectionately known to us Durhamites. Durhamites! That is a pun for us. Yeah. Here in Durham. And she's the executive director of the New Horizons program. And we are so honored to have her here with us today. So, Coach D.
Thank you. Yes.
How do we raise the bar on educating our kids, especially those coming from troubled backgrounds?
Expectations. And we have to start, I think we have to start real, real early. But even also providing the opportunity for young people to attend programs that fit their character, basically. And always and have those expectations. And you've got to teach in for me, in my understanding, is actually a calling. We've got a lot of people that's working in this field who need a paycheck or who's been there for periods of time and want to have got tenure and say, well, I'm not going to be leaving until my tenure is up. And I understand a lot of those issues why people do what they do. But it's affecting our kids to the point where if they're not really willing to set the expectations, a bar, and especially achievable expectations, and make sure that that happens. Sometimes you have to put in that extra time and those extra minutes and hours and days and talking. I mean, with the New Horizons program, my staff is small, but we're probably basically on call almost 24/7. Kids want and need different stuff, and they've got to know that there's somebody there that they can depend on that's not going to say one thing and do another. And that's what we pride ourselves on at the New Horizons program. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, sometimes it's time-consuming, but in order to do and provide these children with the guidance that they need, we got to forget about us sometimes and focus on the needs of these young people.
Absolutely. And we have a caller coming in right now. Let me put the caller on the line.
I was calling in about New Horizon.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you want to identify yourself?
Well, my name is Valeria Rich, and I work over at New Horizon as the administrative assistant.
How are you doing, Valeria?
I'm doing good.
Do you have a question or a comment for Coach D?
Well, I want to know about the school over there. I've noticed that since I've been there, I've noticed that a lot of kids, you know, that have been with Coach D, I mean, in the past years, that I have come back over to the school to let her know how they've been doing over there. And I just want to let her know nationally that she's doing a great job. You know, for kids to come back that's gone to the service or gone to college somewhere and come back and comment on how they're doing, you know, in their life and how she blessed them and how she, you know, did for them and made a life for them. I just thought it was great. I just think it's very great.
Almost.
And I just want to let her know that.
Thank you.
And we appreciate your call. And that's so true. You're having quite an impact on these kids. And the kids that she's illustrating, this caller is illustrating, you know, they probably didn't have much of a future or a hope. But coming through your program instilled that in them to the point that they want to come back and thank you for that. So they're getting a lot more than an education. So that's providing somewhat of a home and then showing them that love. And then I know you're a woman who's rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and that's got to come through in your administration of your school.
Oh, my God. Without it. I think that's one of the major things that's missing in a lot of the opportunities and the things for young people is that you have got to cover these kids. It is out of the hand. A lot of things are past, and we don't want to recognize that. It's only we think we could get them in a particular program, but it's God's hand that's covering a lot of these young people. And yes, I pray a lot, because that's my belief and whatnot. Do I try and impose it on the young people that I'm in with? It's up to them to decide who they want to honor. But I honestly feel that there's a higher power that I have to answer to, and that's guiding me through this situation. We've been in business for 10 years. 10 years ago, God gave me the vision to create a program and a place that young people are going to need to come to. I had no idea. I only had 3 people at the time in my community that was in need of this program, and today we're serving 35 and 40 kids a year. That's coming to it. I had no idea. That's not even what I was looking for. All I knew was that I know those kids needed an opportunity to learn, and if it wasn't going to be this year, now some kids do deem to be out of the school system. I know I would not want my child to be sitting in a classroom with a kid who has a weapon or has some type of charge that could be challenging to their life. And so some kids do need to be removed. But at the same time, they're young people, and we need a place for them to go and to learn how to reconstruct that negative behavior into a positive behavior where they can learn and get some things out of it. And that's what we've chosen to do. And so without without the hand of God, and this is my position on it, covering these issues, these young people who are coming in with all these challenges, we would have a lot of the issues that other systems do. We don't even have a police officer on duty because we've never needed one. And I attribute it to God blessing us and covering my staff and covering the young people that come to our program. So, yes, there's a spiritual base here.
Absolutely, no doubt about it, because I know you deal with some pretty tough kids that most people would not even be able to handle. And the song that I played at the break, the few minutes of it, was No One Else by Kurt Carr and the Kurt Carr Singers, and I dedicate that to you because it is a gift that God put inside of you, and he's equipped and strengthened you to be able to do what you're doing here in Durham with these kids.
I give God all the glory. I pray all the time. I stay on my face, prostrate before the Lord, and asking for guidance. Every opportunity that I get, I'm saying, God, this is your vision, and you entrusted it in me to make it happen, and you know, provide me with the things that I need. And so he's empowering me every day. I mean, for 10 years to be able to still have the energy and the excitement and the passion to deal with young people who have such challenging backgrounds is a blessing, and it's God that the size of my arms and giving me the strength every day to go forward, and I'm so excited about it.
Glory to God, and may he continue to strengthen and keep you uplifted as you go out there every day and not only deal with the kids, but deal with these officials to try to get them in these schools and the funding that you need to keep on doing what you're doing in your program.
Yeah, it's quite challenging that, you know, and it's not rocket science. Sometimes it does behoove me, and it's kind of hard to accept the fact that you cut funding in programs that you know work and is doing all it can, and the funding gets cut tremendously, and you say you got an issue that in the city with gang violence and education and dropout and whatnot, and we've got a program that kids are begging to come in, kids who are not even suspended, kids, young people are going out getting their friends, and it's not tooting our horn, but it's also but trying to provide, let folks know what we do. These are at least 60% of the kids who come to us are referred to us by their friends. You know, they're going out saying, Coach Deal help you, New Horizons will help you, Coach Deal will find a kind of way to help you. And they bring in their friends in here. And these are kids who are gang members. These are people who have considered dropping out of school, who have dropped out of school, who haven't found a place anywhere. And if they're doing that, why can't we find enough money to serve these people, these young people? Because you're saying that our dropout rate is high and we want to find a way to address these issues. Well, you have some places, but you won't support them. So we're actually looking for funders. We're needing people to come along with us and help us to provide the best educational opportunity for as many young people as we can.
And so how can someone get in touch with you, Coach D, if they wanted to volunteer or make some kind of financial donation to your school?
Sure. They can reach us at 919-530-8508. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we have a MySpace website, and we should have another website, of course, but there's dollars involved in that. I mean, we need in-kind services, resources, monetary donations, definitely. We're moving into a new building in December, January, where there's a lot of unknowns because nobody's been in the building but us at this particular time. So definitely monetary donations to help out. But we can definitely be reached at 919-530-8508.
And what's your MySpace address?
You know what? I'm not sure. One of my teachers set it up. So on our MySpace. Didn't you find us on our MySpace?
Yeah, but I don't remember what I did.
You don't remember what?
I think you had given me the address. But in any case, go on MySpace and look for Martina Dunsford. You can put in a bunch of different queries, Training for Success, Newer Horizons, because I think they have an area on there where you can find and search.
Oh, okay.
Different MySpace pages.
Yeah, I leave that. I left that up there.
It on MySpace. Try to use their Find and then Google Training for Success or New Horizons.
Yes. You can also Google Martina, M-A-R-T-I-N-A. Last name is Dunford, D-U-N-F-O-R-D, to find some of the particulars about my personal philosophy and thoughts on certain issues. You can Google that name and maybe find out as much information as you would like to know.
Do you see that among the youth at your school that they do have hope for a better future for themselves?
Oh my God, it is amazing that when we get young people, it takes an average of 3 to 4 months to really actually get them acclimated to a new system, a system of hope and where there's opportunity for them to become and live a lifestyle that they dream of living. These kids at the end of the school year at graduation, it is so amazing to have them verbally be able to give you back where they are and what they want to do and why they want to do what they want to do. And they so want to come back. It's always, can I come back? Can I come back? And I'm like, no, you guys go out into the public system and because that's what society is requiring of you. But it's like, can I come back? Can I come back? And I think it's attributed to, we touch on a lot of personal issues with our young people. We try to give it to them like it is, and that's not to say in any kind of disrespectful way, but we try to address their personal needs. We know that they're being challenged. We know that they're experiencing some things that they don't know how to deal with. So we take some of the day, and periodically we have group meetings and individual sessions where we can just pull those things out, and you should see the outpour of cry and the will to want to, you know, it's just so amazing that, oh, it's like just taking all their spirit and pouring it out on the table. The tears are there, you know, you can tell by the body position, you know, when you touch an area that they're not real comfortable with, it'll show. So we give them that opportunity to let it out. You know, we got to figure out, first of all, you got to expose the enemy before you can deal anything with them.
Absolutely. And you're giving them that love. You're relating to them on a level, or you're dealing with them on a level that they can relate to. You know, and by you coming out of the communities that the kids are coming out of, you know what you're talking about, and they got to respect you for that.
Yeah, and I tell kids a lot. I'm from the hood too, and that's what they refer to it as. I came from a single parent home, whose mom was loving and caring and did all she can. I have three other siblings, and she instilled in me and my brothers and sisters education. She instilled in us that education was going to be our way out, and she did all that she could to make things happen. Worked three jobs, gave us responsibility, and we all work together as a team in order to make these things happen. But she never failed to tell us that she loved us. She never failed, even though we didn't have certain things. Her philosophy was, it's not how you live, it's where you live. I mean, it's not where you live, but it's how you live. And because you're poor, it don't mean you have to look poor and act poor. And so she always provided these encouraging slogans and direction and value systems for us, and she gave us these things, and as a result of that, we carried them with them. So I'm able to relate to a lot of kids who have that single parent and don't see a way out and think you're stuck in an environment that's not conducive for growth and whatnot. And so when you build on that and you help young people understand that, yeah, there is a new channel in a different direction. And then at that point, Shirley, is when I do think they should be taking on some of the responsibility. But we've got to do that. My issue with the question that you proposed earlier about the responsibility of the young people is that, yes, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, but until we nurture them and give it to them and help them to understand what their responsibility is, it is our responsibility. And then after we deliver it to them and give it to them, then there is some level of expectation that you're supposed to go with.
So the foundation needs to be laid first, and then you
exactly.
build on that foundation.
Exactly. And we don't have a foundation. A lot of our young people don't have the foundation. And we're saying because you are 14, 15, 10, 11, or 12, that you should have it. Maybe so. But because they don't have it is what I'm saying, that they don't. So how can we hold them responsible if they never got it?
That's true. And some of the things that these kids have to deal with at such a young age, I mean,
oh my God.
It's enough to turn them gray at 13, 14, and 15 years old.
It's amazing. If the folk who are got all the issues, the major folk who got the major issues with the outcome and the way these children are behaving ever live in a situation or dealt with one of the major issues that a lot of these young people deal with today, they would never make it. They would never make it. And these are kids who may be 8 years old and up. And I'm going to give you a scenario of a family that I dealt with in the Few Gardens community. The oldest kid in a family of three kids at the time, then there was another child later on. But at this particular time, this young man, this little boy, was only like 8 years old. He was 8 years old, and he was responsible for his six-year-old sister and his five-year-old sister. And I'm talking about even down to the afternoons when we left the center to leave for the afternoon, which is about 5 o'clock, these kids would be just standing outside with no place to go. And I know that if we fed them at 11:30 or 12, by 5, I knew they had to be hungry again. So we left them out at the center with no direction. But one of the little boy, because he knew what his responsibility was as a sibling, was to protect and take care of his little sisters, the little sisters would get into a confrontation periodically with other kids. And I remember him distinctively saying to them one day, is that you guys, Simon, y'all got, this is the way he gave it to them, y'all guys stop bothering people because I can't beat up everybody.
Oh my goodness, what a tough responsibility.
He was 8 years
old.
That's exactly right. But
then that same child has to get up the next day and go to school and try to get an education.
That's exactly right. And we at the school system require, and if he don't, we go to him and why aren't you learning? Why don't you do this? Why did you do this? And then we give him a grade, a mark, that makes him feel even worse. Because you didn't pass or you didn't know your ABCs or you didn't turn in your homework or you didn't get this done and you didn't do that. And it's always you. We point the finger at the kid till he grows up with low self-esteem. And because now he's a second grader or a third grader and he missed kindergarten and first grade stuff because he was busy trying to raise two little siblings. And because he now is 10 years old and don't get it and 11 years old and don't get it, he drops out and become a dropout and a gang member. And then we're saying when he's locked up, it's your fault. Come on.
And now we're changing the laws to lock them up for what, 10, 20 years for minor crimes?
You know,
that's a whole other show.
That's a whole other story. That's a whole other story.
We don't want to do that one today. So can you tell us a little bit about the curriculum, the day-to-day activities that the kids are involved in at your school?
Sure. We are required to and do adhere to the Department of Public Instruction curriculum for high schoolers. We have certified teachers on board, and Durham Public Schools have partnered with New Horizons. In addition to that, we have vocational training that we provide for our young people, and we are one of the major components in our vocational training is construction tech. I've worked in the area. I went to St. Louis on three different occasions to visit a model school that provides the same service to young people, and it's an excellent. It's called the Construction Career Center, and it's located in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I went out there on, like I said before, on three different occasions to make sure I'm seeing what I'm seeing because it was perfect for the vision that God had given me. And so we brought it back, and we're implementing it in our program. So the kids get – we're on a block schedule. We adhere to the regular school day, structured day program for Durham Public Schools, 180 days, everything. We're just a different was just a program base for those young people that the traditional school system is not working for.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes left to the show, and I'm going to give the listeners another opportunity to call in and talk with Coach D. The number to call in is 646-716-5180. And I still see that we have people in the chat room, but I haven't received any questions yet. So I guess they're just listening in via the chat room. And, again, if you want to call in and talk to Coach D, the number is 646-716-5180. So I'm not sure, Coach D, I'm not sure how long ago this was, and I'm referring to a study that was done some time ago with, is it Betsy Fife and Donnie Phillips, to determine the best practices for 365-day and long-term suspension programs. Was there ever a final published report on the findings? And if so, what was determined?
I'm not privy of, not sure. I'm not sure. There's been some studies. The last one that was done by Buddy Howell and through JCPC, which is Juvenile Crime Prevention Council, and we're showing some challenges and some things that we're missing when it comes to dealing with these young people. And what I would do probably more than anything, if you needed to, was to contact the Department of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention to find out what the outcomes of that was, because I'm really not sure of that.
Okay. Well, you partner with those organizations as well as the Durham Public School System?
Yes. JCPC, which receives their funding from the Department of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. We partner, we receive funding from JCPC and from the City of Durham and a host of in-kind services from the Durham Public Schools.
And, of course, that's never enough, you know, with what you're
dealing
with.
Oh, my God,
with.
Yeah,
so
budgets are being cut. Oh, my God, yeah. Go ahead.
So, again, if the callers are interested in making an in-kind contribution or volunteering, they can reach you at?
919-530-8508.
Excellent. Well, Coach D, you certainly are an example of an extraordinary person doing extraordinary things here in Durham, North Carolina, and I appreciate all that you do for our kids, and keep up the dynamic work.
Thank you.
You know, because it's going to take, like, who was that, Miriam Edelman said, it's going to take a village.
Yeah.
You know, you're one person doing everything that God has given you through your ability, but it's going to take the whole community. Because when you were talking about that 8-year-old kid having that kind of an awesome responsibility, I'm thinking, okay, well, where is the mom in all this? But I can imagine. And then it's like, where are the neighbors? Because if this kid is getting out of the after-school programs at 5 o'clock, and he's hungry, his sisters are hungry, you can only do what you can do. Where does he go from there?
Exactly.
You know, so it's everybody's responsibility.
That's exactly right.
The neighbor's responsibility, if they know what's going on in that household, don't sit around talking and gossiping about it. Take them kids are your kids too.
That's
we
exactly.
are our brothers and sisters' keeper, and it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to do what we can to raise the bar and standard of living in our own neighborhoods instead of us sitting around waiting for somebody else to help us and help
exactly.
out and improve our communities.
That's exactly right. It's going to take all of us, and we need to take it back.
And the churches as well.
Exactly. Oh, definitely. More than, I mean, especially the churches. Because that's where we're seeing that God is healing and we're saints and our brothers keepers and we're God and let me go out in the streets and do it. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was messing around with this.
Yeah, my phone is acting crazy.
Okay, we have about a minute left to go in the show. So I'd like to take this opportunity to give the guests one more, the listeners one more chance to call in and speak with our guest, Coach D, from New Horizons Program here in Durham, North Carolina. The call-in number is 646-716-5180. And you're listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio, and this is your host, Tough Way Nione. So, Coach D, I'm going to give you the last few seconds to close out the show. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the listeners, to the parents, to anybody who's tuning into the show right now?
Well, what I'd like to say, if anything, is to get involved, you know, some quality time with your children and make sure that they get. And if you don't know how, just ask somebody. You know, don't take for granted that they know, and spend as much time as you can loving them and showing them and giving them positive direction. And I think that's what we can start doing more than anything. And if anybody wants to get involved, give us a call, 919-530-8508. Parents taking it back.
Thank you so much, my sister.
Sure.
And you keep doing it. I love you, and we'll talk to you soon. Get some rest. So this is your host, Tafwe Nayoni, and you've been listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Please tune in next week where our guest will be motivational speaker William Burton. Thank you so much and have a terrific day.